So we're going to do dueling sound checks.
No, we're not.
My sound check's better than your sound check.
No.
Yes.
It's not.
It is.
No.
Yep.
No, it's not. I feel like we're going to break into song soon. No, it's not. Yes, it is.
I can do anything. Welcome to episode 345 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard.
And I'm your host, Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and much, much more across all Windows platforms.
Well, we have kind of a big show this week, Richard.
Yeah, we do.
Today was the gigantic Windows 10 devices event from Microsoft, and we're going to try and cover this and some other news and what's going on in our entertainment centers and a new segment from Marcus Lyons at the end of the show. So stick around. That's going to happen during the what's going on in our entertainment centers section. You won't want to miss this, I promise. All of this in less than an hour, right? Maybe not?
Yeah, not so much.
All right. So, as usual, we'd like to start with some listener feedback. If you'd like to send us some, you can do that by emailing us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. And Greg did just that.
Wait. We don't have time for feedback.
What do you mean we don't have time for feedback?
We have too much to get through. So here's the deal. Greg wrote out this excellent email message to us, letting us know that he was having problems with his Windows Home server, and he knew that I was having problems with my Windows Home server. The short story is not that problem. The problem is my brain, and we'll get into that later in the show. But thank you very much for your feedback, and we'll get back to some of the details in this in a later episode.
Sure. All right. So let's jump into some video news. First up, last week, just after recording, Alan in the chat room pointed out to us that the My Media Center app was no longer working on iOS since the iOS 9 release, and pointed us to a thread over at the Green Button that stated that none other than James Montemagno, the guy who originally wrote the app, was working on a fix for it.
I know that name.
Yeah, he's a little familiar, kind of hipsterish. We got a post up about that over the last week. This is really odd timing to be talking about this because we found out right after recording the last one, did a post letting people know that it was broken but would be coming back soon. And then today, or maybe last night, it reappeared on the App Store. It's been updated. If you've been looking for My Media Center on iOS, it's back now, back and improved, Richard.
Yeah.
Right? Have you gotten a chance to play with the new version yet? Like, it just came out, so I don't know if you have.
I haven't. So they have a video of what it can do and some of the new features, and I haven't had a chance to play with it myself. I'll definitely be getting the update and giving it a try. I'll tell you, I'm not a fan of the new look and feel. They updated it to work and look more like the flat UI that is more popular now and more standard now in iOS and other platforms, but it looks very Android-y. I don't know why I think that, but I think that. And overall, I don't think it goes far enough to take on the overall iOS 7 plus general light feel. But I'm just glad it works again because that's what's in my pocket, and I haven't been able to use it to check on programs and stuff, and I'm glad I can now.
Yeah, I use this app on my Windows phone all the time. So he didn't just make it work again. He didn't just make it look a little bit more relevant to iOS 9. There are apparently also some performance optimizations in there and some optimizations to make it work better on the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. And so there you go. If you have an iPhone and or an iPad and a Windows Media Center, this is an app you need. You need to get this app. And now you can, because it's working again.
And, you know, despite my negative design aesthetic comments, I want to give serious kudos to the folks at Seton for making this happen. These are apps that, for the most part, have been out there for a long time and haven't had a whole lot of attention recently from new users, but they stood behind them and provided updates, and that's awesome.
And did it really, really quickly. For the size of this app, they got it done really fast.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's great to see, but let's move on to some gaming news. Last week, we mentioned that Microsoft was unveiling new Xbox One bundles every single day, but since we record on Tuesdays, we only got to tell you about two of them. The rest of them have been announced. So just a quick recap of the other four, because on one of the days they did two. I kind of expected five, but hey, extra bundles is okay. So the next one in the list is the Lego Movie video game bundle, probably the least interesting of the bunch. It's a 500 gig Xbox One, and it comes with the Lego Movie video game, and it costs $350. So it's a standard Xbox One with the Lego game for free. Woo. Okay. Next one, the special edition white Gears of War bundle. This one's only marginally more interesting. It's a 500 gig console that's, you guessed it, white, and it has a white controller and comes with Gears of War Ultimate. This one I couldn't actually get a price for, but I'm going to guess $350.
Yeah, but it's white. You heard what I said last week about the new TiVo, right?
I'm with you. I don't like the white set-top boxes. I wouldn't want this. All right, the next one, I think this is kind of interesting, although not interested in the games. A Kinect bundle. Didn't think we'd see one of those, did you? 500 gig console with a Kinect. It includes, well, a few Kinect games. It has Dance Central Spotlight, Kinect Sports Rivals, and Zoo Tycoon. And this one is $499. So basically a regular Xbox One with a Kinect and three games that are all fairly cheap at this point, but free games is free games, and you should get a Kinect anyway. So there you go.
This one's really weird because this seems to me like the original product with new titles.
Except that they're not really new titles.
Well, but I mean, with titles, because the original box didn't come with anything.
Right.
So this just seems like it's not even a different price. It's the original price, but they threw in some old titles.
Right. Well, yeah. There aren't a lot of new Kinect titles to bundle with it. And I don't even think Zoo Tycoon is really a Kinect game either. So I think they were really kind of... They could have included Fantasia. That was an interesting Kinect game. I don't know. Anyway.
And how did they do that? How did they go from the most popular consumer electronics selling device ever to nobody cares about it anymore?
I don't get it. I think it's just the fact that the console cost more with it.
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I still frequently look back and see the episode of this show that we titled The Cheapskate Tax, because that's what you're paying when you don't get an Xbox One with a Kinect, because you really do want a Kinect, and you'll pay more for it separately. And yeah, you and I are still really big fans of the Kinect. I play games. I've been playing a lot of games with friends lately, and I use the Kinect voice commands all the time. And, you know, my friends like to sort of mock it, but I think mock it out of, you know, disappointment that they can't do the same thing.
They're making fun of you because they're jealous, Josh.
Exactly. See, that doesn't happen very often. The people are jealous of me. All right. We have one more bundle to cover. And that is the Fallout 4 bundle. This is a 1 terabyte console and includes Fallout 4. And they like to make a big deal about how in this bundle, you'll also get Fallout 3. Well, here's a little bit of a secret for all of you. Everyone who buys Fallout 4, I believe, is getting Fallout 3 with it. So that's going to come as a backwards compatible download version, the Xbox 360 version of Fallout 3. Anyway, it's $400. So basically, it's the 1 terabyte version of the console with Fallout 4 for free. So of all of these bundles, I think That one has the best game that it's coming with, in my opinion, but maybe not the most interesting bundle. I like the Kinect bundle because it has the Kinect, and the bundle we discussed last week that had Gears of War and Rare Replay, I think those, you know, those are a couple of really great games to be bundling together. All of those available, of course, either now or very soon for your holiday purchases.
Cool.
It's also a new week. That means new deals with gold, as usual. This week, a shorter list of titles, but a couple of interesting ones. Of course, Forza always stands out to me. They've got Forza Horizon 2 on this list, but it's not just Forza Horizon 2. It's the Forza Horizon 2 Ultimate 10th Anniversary Edition, and it's 35% off. So I thought, this must be fairly cheap. It's not, but
nope.
For kind of a good reason. It's Forza Horizon 2 plus the VIP stuff, which would have costed you an extra $10 anyway, which really just gives you like double XP when you're playing. And every car pack they've released for this game. But even with the discount, it's still $58.49.
Why that price? Come on.
Because it's just a percentage off.
It's a silly price.
It is. You know, this might have been worth it. Like, I mean, obviously wouldn't buy this anyway because I already own Forza Horizon 2. But for this price, it seems like they could have included, now I can't even remember the name of it, but they released a $20 expansion that was like a separate island with a whole bunch of extra events and new vehicles and stuff that was primarily geared at like the off-road racing and stuff. And that's not included in this. So that's kind of a bummer. Maybe the other big one worth talking about because it's a good discount is WWE 2K15. This is, it's 75% off. So it's only $15. But if you're a wrestling fan who would be interested in this game, you probably know that WWE 2K16 just came out. So I don't know. Choose whether you want the old one for dirt cheap or the new one for $60.
Well, but how's that significantly different from old versions of FIFA or Forza or anything else that comes out every once in a while?
I'm sure. Well, as like a high level just discussion, it's not really any different at all. What it comes down to is like, is this new version radically better in some way? And since I've never played a WWE game in my life, I couldn't tell you.
Fair point.
Another quick news story I wanted to pass along. If you are an Xbox One gamer and you like first-person shooters and you like Star Wars, this is the weekend for you. October 8th through the 12th, Star Wars Battlefront Beta. It's completely free. It's completely open. You're not going to have to go through a bunch of crazy sign-up processes like you had to do for Rainbow Six Siege. I believe it's just going to be in the store. That's Thursday, October 8th. I know I'll be playing. I've got a bunch of friends who will be playing. If you want to play with me also, and we're not already friends on Xbox Live, my gamer tag, RALYDSM. And if you can't remember that or you didn't understand me, just ask me on Twitter and I'll tell you, because this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. All right. One other thing. Well, I guess actually a couple more things with the Xbox. So we've talked a little bit over the last couple of weeks about the new Xbox experience that was released to some people a couple of weeks ago in preview form. I wasn't in that early release. You and I both said that we were a little nervous about this new release and weren't quite sure how soon we wanted to get it. Well, actually, you said you don't want it in preview form at all.
Yeah, a little nervous is greatly understating my trepidation.
So late last week, there was a news post saying that they were going to be rolling it out to more people. I started getting some tweets from some of our listeners. I believe Six Slayer in the chat was one of them, saying that he got it like Friday or Saturday night. I didn't get it Saturday. I didn't get it Sunday. I woke up Monday morning and still didn't have it. I was really disappointed, but still not entirely disappointed because I was still nervous about it. Well, late last night, I got it, which meant that I had to stay up late and check it out.
Of course you did.
Well, what I really needed to do was stay up late and run through all of the scenarios that I knew my family would encounter today while I was at work to make sure that I wouldn't come home to a rioting mob of angry people. So got it installed. It's a little over a 1 gig download. So it you know, between downloading and installing, it was probably a 20-ish minute process for me, maybe a little bit longer. And, you know, it's not nearly as buggy as what I had expected, but they've done some releases in between when we first went through that giant list of known issues, and now there's been some updates. So there's some glitchiness for sure. There's some animations that aren't super smooth. There's some good things too, and maybe some other not so good things. So the best thing is it's definitely a lot faster. If you want to do things like access your friends list, do a party chat, send and receive messages, all that stuff is way faster now. It's all available through this guide that pops out on the left-hand side. You access that by just double tapping the Xbox button on your remote or on your controller if you're in the middle of something, or if you're on the home screen, you can just arrow to the left and that guide will pop out. The guide is cool. I like it. There's two issues that I have with it. And the first one is one that, Richard, you had initially expressed when we first saw the video of this. And that's that the fonts are kind of small.
Yeah.
They're kind of really small. And
yeah.
We weren't sure how well that would work on a TV. They're just barely big enough. Like if I'm sitting in the chair furthest from my couch, I can read them, but I got to be looking, you know. And you know, I don't have a giant TV. It's a 42-inch TV. But I got to think that for people whose eyes maybe aren't the greatest, this might be a little too small. But for me, it's barely big enough.
And notably, it's a thin font too.
Yeah. Now, for me, when I'm gaming, I'm sitting like 4 feet from my TV. So it's not going to be an issue at all. But yeah, from across the room, those fonts are a little small. The other problem that I have with it is that now this thing is popping out on the left side. And you know, one of the things that you can do there is pick an app to snap. And so when I got there, I thought, all right, well, this thing's on the left side. I bet when I pick an app to snap, it's also going to put it on the left side. But it doesn't. It still snaps apps on the right side, which seems a little odd to me. Maybe eventually I'll get used to it. But it just seemed weird to be focusing entirely on the left-hand side of my TV to find what I'm looking for to do, and then focus all the way over on the right-hand side of the screen.
Well, yeah, but if the left-hand side of the screen is for these lists of things like your friends and stuff like that, then why would you want that to be the same place where you have your snapped apps? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I guess just because like I didn't expect to have to look all the way to the opposite side of the screen. I figured when
You said your TV is 42 inches.
I know, but it's still, you know, it's just not what I'm expecting. You know,
yeah,
when you're selecting something from a menu and you're expecting something to change, you expect it to change near where you're doing the thing. And so what I figured would happen is I would select an app, say Amazon Video or something, and it would appear on the left side, and then the guide thing would go away. And apparently Sixthlayer is saying that's how it used to work, but they changed it to put the snap stuff back on the right, probably because of what you said, Richard. So I think it probably in the end does make sense. It was just a little weird to me at first.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
The home screen itself, we kind of went through all this because we saw some previews of what that would look like. I don't like that my pins are so far down the screen. It's not as big of a deal for my family because they launch everything by voice anyway, but it's a little annoying. The community section, which is the second pane that you can go to, seems like a giant waste of space. It's like gigantic images of achievement art that for friends who've gotten achievements. And half the time, it doesn't even show who the person was that got it or what it is. It's just some random picture. So hopefully they're going to fix that because it seems like a total waste.
So Josh, I only have two friends on Xbox, you and Hockey John. I'm going to have to unfriend you both.
Uh-oh. Why?
Because I don't want that section.
Well, you might not really have to see that section. But... And you'll probably get it anyway. It'll just be empty.
Oh, yeah. Or they'd put random stuff in there.
Yeah. Here's the community section for losers who have no friends. Right? No. So the next section is it's dubbed One Guide, and it's pretty cool. It's kind of broken up into some different sections on, you know, like, here's some things that are trending right now on TV. Here's some a selection of good family choices, and like, it's just broken up into a few different sections with lots of quick links to content, whether it's through Xbox music and video, or I guess whatever the heck they're calling that now, or just apps. Like, I saw Mr. Robot on there, and you click on the Mr. Robot and it takes you to the USA app to watch Mr. Robot. And it's really nicely presented. I did really like that. Sort of along with One Guide, if you're watching live TV and you press one of the arrows, sort of like if you would do in Media Center to bring up the little mini guide, it does, I can't really describe this well, just via audio, but it brings up basically some light text to show you, you know, what's on the channels near where you are in the guide, and you can arrow down through them, and then and that scrolls vertically, and then you can, if you see something that looks interesting, you can arrow to the right, kind of select it, and it brings up a bigger pane that shows you the description of what it is, and even some like tweets about it, which could be interesting, might be annoying depending on, you know, your preferences. But that whole little mini guide I thought seemed really cool. If you're actually using the One Guide, you might really like the new One Guide improvements.
Now, I never stuck with that after I first tested it with my TiVo, because it was really problematic. So I backed off of that because the TiVo is like the sacred don't mess with it device in the house.
Yeah.
The Media Center and Xbox I can go mess with. But after I disconnected it, I really didn't have any feel for how the One Guide actually worked. Is that mini guide completely new, or was there something like that there before?
You know, I'm not entirely sure either, because I almost never use it, because I've got my Media Center running through it, and trying to use the One Guide with Media Center is a little problematic, because if you're not in live TV, then Media Center is just going to not know why it's receiving number commands.
Right.
So I'm not entirely sure. I think there was some kind of mini guide before, but I don't think it was anything like this.
Okay.
And then the last major section I want to talk about is the store. The store was in desperate need of a refresh, and it's definitely a lot better now. Well, it's better. Maybe not a lot better, but it's definitely better. It's got a little bit more organization. It's a little bit easier to just get to a list of all games. And, you know, one of the things that I've always struggled with is finding games with gold and the discounts with gold.
Because
sometimes there's an ad for it on the home screen, and sometimes there's not. And if there's not, God help you, you're never finding
it. Right. The ad is the only way I can ever find it.
Right. Well, now I think you're going to permanently be able to find it if you're willing to click over to the very oddly named subscriptions section.
What?
So like across the top, there's some different categories. There's like all games and I don't know, new games or something like that. And then I think it's the last one in the list says subscriptions. And I saw subscriptions and wondered, what the crap is subscriptions?
Right.
And you go there and it shows you the list of games with gold and deals with gold. And then it also gives you basically an ad for buying the EA Access subscription. So, and I imagine if I wasn't an Xbox Live Gold subscriber already, that it would probably give me the option to buy it right there. But it just seemed weird to be labeled under subscriptions. So maybe they'll change that, because otherwise, it's still kind of hard to find the games with gold if you don't know that that's where they are.
Yeah, although as you say that, that does make sense to me, that it's bundled in with this idea that you've subscribed to these services, so you get benefits from them. Here's where you go to find those benefits.
Yeah, you know, I kind of wondered, like, is this a category of games that require a subscription? Is that what I'm going to find under there?
Yeah.
But I guess I'm not even entirely sure that any games like that exist on Xbox One. It might not. So maybe that was just a dumb assumption.
I have no idea. No idea at all.
So that's my take on the new Xbox One experience so far. My family does not hate me. It's been mostly good. The only real glitch that Jen ran into today was that she had left it on for a while, came back to it. It, for some reason, had turned itself off, but it didn't turn my receiver off. And my receiver doesn't accept discrete on and off commands. So when she turned the Xbox back on, it toggled the power on the receiver, which turned the receiver off. So she had to fix that. But I told her that was one thing to look out for, was to make sure that the receiver was getting turned on correctly. And now she knew how to get that turned back on and be able to hear things. So anyway, that's the new preview. I imagine we'll get more and more updates over the next month or so. And then this thing is going to be available for everybody in November.
November, huh?
Yep.
All right.
I got some polishing to do.
Yeah, it sounds like it. All right. Well, another thing that's coming up is that I understand that we're supposed to be getting the ability to map controller buttons on all the controllers soon, not just the Elite. Is that right?
I guess. I had seen these stories pop up in my news feeds too, and I don't really get it. Like, the controllers are mapped the way they are, and like in a specific, in each game, you can typically change how the controller buttons are mapped anyway. So I don't know why I need to do this at a system level. I don't know. Maybe people who are even more hardcore gamers than me have a use for this, but I don't really get it. Like, the Xbox Elite controller, I get it because it's made for that and it has a bunch of extra things and all that. And so you would need to map those. But to map buttons on my regular controller, I don't get it.
I actually thought it was cool because I think that there are times when I've ventured into different apps or different games where, since I'm not a gamer all the time, I just...
all the time, like ever?
Whatever. The interactions didn't seem right or natural for me, and it seemed like there were some better ways of being able to accomplish things. Like, sometimes when I had to use the stick controller, when it would have been so much easier just to have a D-pad or something like that, and vice versa. And so if you have the ability to do stuff like that, I think that's cool. You know, let people use the controller in the way that makes the most sense for them.
Yeah, I've got no problems with this. I just don't see myself using it. All right, so let's move on. There was an event today. Really, really big event. But you know what? It wasn't too long. Unlike some other tech giants, they were able to get through all of their news with all of these new devices from Microsoft in an hour and a half.
You need to watch yourself, because if I remember correctly, the last big Microsoft event was about 2.5 hours long.
Which event was that?
Wasn't it the one where they introduced HoloLens?
Was it that long?
It was way long.
Hmm. Well, see, they've learned from their mistakes.
They did. This was a very well-produced, well-orchestrated presentation for the most part. And yep. I say for the most part because who opens it up but Terry Myerson?
Our good buddy Terry Myerson, who, we like the guy, but he's just not the greatest presenter.
And they still have not given him any coaching lessons on public speaking.
I thought he did better at this one than that previous event that you mentioned.
Well, he did, I think, but it's still so obvious that he's just reading the slides and trying to act excited. And it was so obvious in the audience response, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
Right. So one of the first things they mentioned was an update on how many people or how many devices are running Windows 10. That number is now at 110 million devices. That's pretty phenomenal for an OS that's only been out for 2 months. Pretty cool.
Yeah, not so bad. And it's good because I think they have, 2 years to get to 1 billion devices? So they're appropriately on their way.
Yeah, I'd say. So then they jumped right into HoloLens, which is not what I expected them to start with at all.
Well, did they really? I mean, they did talk a little bit about Xbox and how well it was doing and how it was going to get the new 360 like retrofit upgrade and stuff like that.
Backwards compatibility is the phrase.
Yeah, retrofit upgrade. That's a better word.
Yeah, like, but they didn't say anything new about the Xbox. I didn't take any notes at all from that section.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Windows 10 is coming in November, and it's bringing you backwards compatibility. All right, on to HoloLens.
They did actually say, and I don't know if they've said this publicly before, but they did say that the new dashboard is Windows 10.
I think they had said that before.
Okay.
Pretty sure. Like at Gamescom or something in August, I think they specifically mentioned that, if not earlier. All right, so then they moved on to HoloLens, and everyone cheered when Terry Myerson got off stage, and we got to watch a HoloLens demo. It was a new demo. It was pretty stinking cool. The guy who was demoing it was able to, they were calling this wearable holograms, where he like put a cannon on his arm as a hologram, which, and I know, Richard, they're not holograms.
Again, but
that's what they're calling them.
Such an example of how it's just augmented reality. It's awesome augmented reality, but it's augmented reality.
Well, they're calling them holograms, so I'm going to keep calling them holograms just to be consistent.
That's fine. And I'll just call you wrong all the time, too.
I'm only doing it because they are. So, so that makes it right. So yeah, he basically had a gun on his arm, and they used the, you know, like Richard said, the augmented reality features of the HoloLens to make a game out of the room that he was in. So it was kind of 3D augmented Space Invaders, really, because alien robot things were just like blasting through the walls of this room, like the actual walls, and it would display on the wall like there's a hole in the wall, and then the robot comes climbing through, and then it just stands there for 10 seconds waiting to get shot, and then you shoot it, and then another one comes out.
Yeah, they weren't terribly menacing.
No, not really. And you know, they showed he changed his weapon over at one point so that instead of it being a gun, it was more like a tractor beam where it like pulled in the alien and then exploded it. And that was really cool.
And it was really good that the alien waited for him to change his weapon too.
Yeah. Super, super nice of that alien to do that. So it was really cool. Nice to see a new demo. It always feels a little disingenuous with all the rumors and things that we've heard about the field of view being tiny. He probably wouldn't have seen it as well as what we saw it on stage, but you know, we'll see. So the big question we've been waiting for since this was originally announced in January is, when can we get it and how much is it going to cost? How many thousands of dollars? Because anyone who thought that it was going to be less than 1,000 was crazy.
Right.
And we got that. I didn't think we would get that today.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was really happy to see this. So we finally now know that this is going to cost approximately 4 Alexes. Wait, what?
You know, I saw you tweet about that Alex thing. I don't get that joke.
It's because you're not a Mac guy.
So none of our listeners got that joke. Thanks. So this is a dev kit that they're releasing, and it's going to come out soon. Q1 2016. If you're a developer, you can sign up, which tells me that not everybody who signs up is going to get one. But if you sign up and you also have $3,000 to pay, you can get your hands on one possibly quarter one next year.
$3,000.
Now, we don't really know how indicative that is of what the final retail price is going to be.
But that's true. That's true. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Jinx.
Yeah. That is by far the most expensive thing that we're going to talk about today. And yeah, we're going to talk about some expensive stuff.
Yeah, that's insanity. Wow.
Yeah.
But I mean, you just think about this though. If you have the infrastructure to be developing a game or an application for this sort of device, you already have to have that kind of money.
Right. That's very true. All right. So that's the expensive craziness. Let's move on to the least expensive device announced. This one was not a surprise at all. The new Microsoft Band. I guess I shouldn't say at all, but mostly the renders that we saw ended having the curved
display. What we expected.
Well, not exactly. So
really?
The design is exactly what we expected.
Okay.
The one thing we didn't know, I don't think, was that they added a barometer.
Oh please.
So it wasn't exactly what we knew. So it looks really nice. The barometer feature is nice. That allows it to tell if your elevation has changed, which is great for like running up and down stairs, or if you're on a long bike ride or run or something like that. It can factor all of that information in. It looks cool. It's going to be available this month, which makes sense. What I don't like is that they're increasing the price. The Microsoft band that we can get now is $200. The new one is $250.
But I'm not Josh, paying, it's curved.
Well, I'm not paying an extra $50 for a curved display and a barometer.
Have one that you just bought this year.
I wouldn't be buying one either way, I suppose. But I was chatting with one of my friends while I was watching this, and he's like, how much you want to bet this thing's $250? And I'm like, nope, it's not going to be $250. They're going to keep the price the same. They're not changing enough to increase the price. And I was wrong.
One of my colleagues posted on Twitter that they notably did not go in a fashion direction with this device. And I think that's actually quite notable. I think it's important to note that they're looking at this as a lifestyle device, not as some fashion piece. And I think that's a big difference. And I think it's a smart one for them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Apples of the world are the ones that people are wearing to show off for, not typically Microsoft devices. So instead,
what are you saying exactly?
I'm not saying that's true for everybody, but you know, a lot of people get a new Apple device and they're like, ooh, I want to make sure everybody sees my new Apple device. This, not so much, but the nice thing is, despite the fact that it's not a fashion thing, it still looks really nice. I really like this new design.
Yeah, it's cool. They did a really good job with it.
And you can wear it on both sides of your wrist.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's unexpected, because when they first showed shots of it in the video, my first reaction was, oh, it is still underside. And then they showed some people wearing it on the top of their wrist. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's actually really cool that it's that flexible.
Yeah. Yeah. This, it looks great.
And thus ends the tenure of Terry Myerson on the stage for this presentation.
Yay.
Enter Panos Panay, much, much, much more lively and genuine and in touch with the audience.
He's always been so good, and he just keeps getting better.
It seemed a little bit over the top when he kept on asking, so what do you think of that? What do you think of that? What do you think of that?
I didn't like that.
But he is such a good presenter.
And you can tell that he's a guy that genuinely is excited about this stuff.
Oh, totally.
So he had a bunch of stuff to show. So first off was phones. Again, not a lot that we didn't expect here. There might not be anything we didn't expect here, actually. The Lumia 950 and 950 XL, basically all the leaks that we saw were 100% correct. We haven't mentioned the actual specifics much lately, so I'll just fly through these really quick. The 950 has a 5.2-inch screen. The 950 XL has a 5.7-inch screen. Both of them have a screen resolution of 2560 by 1440, which is ludicrous and unnecessary, in my opinion. The 950 has a 6-core processor. The bigger one has the 8-core processor. They both have 3 gigs of RAM. They both have 32 gigs of storage on board and support microSD cards, which he pointed out, you know, you could throw in a 256 gig microSD card in it today, but it'll support, once they're actually available, up to 2 terabyte microSD cards, which is crazy, but it's nice to hear them say it.
And that's crazy. And I loved that he even like kind of made a joke about it. He kind of said, you know, and when we get there, theoretically, you could have 2 terabyte cards in there, because they don't exist yet, but it's ready to support them.
Yeah, which is great, considering some of the features that are coming, like Continuum, which we'll get to in a second. But maybe the other big and most important feature of the phone is, of course, the cameras. The camera on the back, 20 megapixel camera, similar to what we've got on the 1520 and the Icon and the 930 now, but a third generation optical image stabilization, new 3 LED flash. I mean, it's basically that great camera that we've known and loved for a year and a half, 2 years now, but even better. And USB Type-C, which is cool to see.
Yeah, I'm really happy about that. I really, really, really hope we see everyone standardizing on that, including Apple, in the next generation of big devices coming out and mobile devices.
Yeah. And then, of course, the support continuum, which is the feature that allows you to use it as a PC, basically. They showed off the little dock that you can plug in to. It uses USB Type-C, obviously. Has video ports, USB ports, so that you can hook up a keyboard and mouse and a monitor or TV or whatever, some thumb drives, whatever you need. Plug these into your phone, and now your phone is a computer. And we've talked a lot about Continuum in the past, so we don't really need to get into it a ton here. I think it's an awesome feature. It's not a feature for super heavy power users like you and me, Richard, who already have a bunch of computers that we're going to use for all of our heavy tasks, but for I want to say like more businessy people, people who spend their whole lives inside of Microsoft Office, this could totally work as their sole device.
Yeah, it could potentially. I think this has a lot of promise. They clarified, I thought, in the demonstration about what types of things you could still do on your device while it was tethered and acting as a computer. And I thought that was smart of them.
Yeah. So these are coming out in November. No actual date yet. Just November. The 950 will be $550 off contract, and the 950 XL, the bigger one, will be $650. I was really hoping these prices would be lower, but didn't think they actually would be.
You didn't mention the bad news yet, did you?
There's bad news?
These are exclusive to AT&T when they come out.
Yeah, that is bad news. I had a lot of people IMing me today. I wanted this on Verizon. Why can't, like, I even had one friend who was, you know, double checking the list of the radio frequencies that they supported versus previous Verizon phone. He really, really wanted this new phone and didn't want to leave Verizon. And doesn't look like it's going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's very disappointing.
They also spent about 18 seconds talking about the Lumia 550. They didn't really say anything at all about it other than it'll be available in December for about $139. You know, we've seen leaks that this is a 1 gigahertz processor and all that stuff. I mean, it's a low-end next-generation Windows phone. We, at this point, know what to expect from low-end Lumias. So that's coming in December for $139.
That's an expensive low-end.
Well, a lot of the low-end phones start over $100, but they're very quickly under $100.
True.
All right, so let's move on to the Surface Pro 4. We also, I mean, we expected a Surface Pro 4, weren't exactly sure what to expect, as this actually didn't leak. The Surface team turns out really, really good at not having their stuff leak.
Really good.
As we'll get to later. Lumia team could learn a thing or two. So Microsoft Surface Pro 4, it's not radically different. It's got a slightly bigger screen. It's 12.3 inches now. But it's still the same footprint, you know, still overall case is the same size. So the bezel's just a little bit smaller. It's got the new Intel Skylake processor, which we totally expected. It's thinner and lighter as we expect. It went from 9.4 millimeters to 8.4 millimeters, which they said is basically as thin as they can go without having to drop the full size USB port, which they're not going to do.
And I thought that was brilliant. I really liked that move. I think that's something that other tablet and product manufacturers could learn from Apple.
They also announced a new dock, which I think when they said new dock, a lot of people were like, what? You told us that when you released the dock for the Surface Pro 3, that the new Surfaces would work with the old stuff. And now you're releasing yet another dock. Well, you know, they didn't say whether or not. Whether or not the Surface Pro 3 would work with this one, or whether or not this one would work with the old one.
Well, yes, they did say that. So this dock is backwards compatible with the Surface Pro 3, but they didn't say if the Surface Pro 4 could work with the old dock.
Yeah. So that might tick some people off. The new dock, it's hard to even call it a dock. Like, this is not really a dock that I think most people think of.
It's the size of a cigarette pack.
Yeah, it's a little box that has a cable that runs to your Surface, just one, and then, you know, USB ports and Ethernet ports. You know, it's got four USB 3 ports, two 4K DisplayPort ports. Let me say port a few more times. A gigabit Ethernet port. And like I said, just one wire to your Surface, which does all of that and charges it, which is really nice. No pricing announced for this dock. This shouldn't be more than $150, which means it will be $200.
Right. I was going to say, but it will be. I'm guessing $179.
I think that's a little optimistic, but maybe, who knows? I'm apparently totally wrong when it comes to guessing prices now. So they also showed off a new keyboard that looks really nice. It's backlit. It has scissor action keys that look really nice.
Hey, where have we seen them before?
Yeah, kind of look exactly like the mechanism on the new MacBook, but
yeah,
if it works, you know, these guys copy each other all the time. Yeah. iPad Pro. And maybe the coolest thing about this, well, okay, so there's really two things. It also has a fingerprint reader, which is cool if you want to use Windows 10 Hello, and maybe you're using this with a lot of people, or you just don't like having to type your password. You can just place your finger on the fingerprint reader, and that's cool. What might be coolest is this is a great new keyboard and it works with the Surface Pro 3.
Yeah, that is a big deal.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans are going to be really happy about that and will probably be going to pick up one of these for their Surface Pro 3.
Did you mention that it had a larger trackpad area too?
No,
that's
I didn't.
A big deal.
That's true. It is a bigger trackpad. So all in all, just looks like more and more great enhancements to the keyboard. So Surface Pro 4. The rest of it, it's about what you'd expect. Same sort of configurations, although you can get it with up to a terabyte of storage now, which seems insane to me. You can pre-order it starting October 7th, and it'll be available October 26th. And like previous versions of the Surface Pro, pricing starts at $899.
Now, have they published any more information about how high this can go? I mean, if you're adding a terabyte of storage, that's clearly going to add pretty significantly to this.
You can spec the Surface Pro out to get the 1 terabyte of storage. You have to go with the Core i7.
Makes sense.
And you have to get it with the maximum amount of RAM, which
makes sense.
This is new this year too, at 16 gigs.
Right.
And then you can get a terabyte of storage.
Okay.
And for that, you will only be paying $2,699.
A mere
$2,700 Surface Pro
tablet.
Wow.
Without any wireless.
Yeah. And without a keyboard.
Wow. So yeah. Easily you're getting yourself to $3,000 for a tablet that is also a PC.
Sure. A tablet that can replace your laptop.
But that's desktop. That's like power desktop pricing.
Right. And you know, so that's the tablet that can replace your laptop. But what if you really just can't replace your laptop? What if you really, really need a laptop, Richard? You need something with that firm, solid base that's going to fit in your lap and maybe is even more powerful than what this Surface Pro 4 has.
And Josh, I'm in that category because I'm not convinced in the tablet as a laptop replacement thing. I'm just not convinced. What could I do?
Right. And I'm actually in that category too. You know, we got new PCs at work this year, and I had the option of getting a Surface Pro 3, but it just wasn't powerful enough. And I was willing to deal with the lap issues, but it just wasn't enough.
But wait a minute. You're always talking about how the Surfaces are a laptop replacement. So I'm surprised to hear that argument from you. And that's another story for another time.
Yeah, I just needed more RAM, basically. It topped out at 8 gigs of RAM. So anyway, Microsoft now has an answer. Microsoft, for the first time ever, has made their own laptop, and they're calling it the Surface Book.
There's a space
right
between Surface and Book.
Right.
So as not to confuse it with any other kind of book
nope
that you might get.
Not at all like any other type of book.
Not at all.
Period. Nothing at all. Like, yeah. So this is really interesting. It's got a 13.5-inch display that is, it's still 3x2. So there's, and the screen resolution is 3,000x2,000. Gigantic.
Yeah, crazy.
267 PPI on that giant screen. Huge. Awesome. It also has, and I guess this is just an option on some of the models, a discrete NVIDIA GPU if you are into gaming or just heavy graphics processing stuff. And it's got a massive battery in it. This is a super powerful laptop. It gets 12 hours of battery life. That's better than any other something something book laptops out there. It is.
The MacBook, it is. It's better than the Pro for sure. The MacBook Air that I have can easily get 12 hours.
Okay, but it's not anywhere near as powerful.
No, it's not. Close. And, you know, they spent a fair amount of time pointing that out. That, yeah. In fact, this is, I think they said, 1.5 times as fast as the most powerful MacBook Air that's available today.
You know, I was really confused when they were talking about that, because they said, oh, now I get it. You know, they were saying it has a discrete GPU, so it's twice as fast as a MacBook Pro. And I was like, but the MacBook Pro has a discrete GPU, but it doesn't now. The older ones did, but the new one doesn't, right?
It's just the AMD stuff. I lose track.
Either way, this thing is ridiculously powerful. You can get it with a Core i5 or a Core i7, you know, the new Skylake processors. And like I mentioned earlier, it goes up to 16 gigs of RAM. I think your only options are 8 or 16. You can't even go with 4, I don't think. And you're going to pay. Actually, we should get into that a little bit. So, you know, they mentioned by weight, it's the fastest 13-inch laptop ever, which that's kind of a dumb thing to say, but I'm sure it is crazy fast and powerful. They pointed out that it works with the dock. It has a couple of USB ports on the side. It's also got a display port on the side. But that dock that they mentioned earlier for the Surface Pro 4 works with this to give you more expansion. That's always nice to see. And so they go through and they tell us all these features. And then they told us to watch a video that they had shown earlier in the presentation. They said, let's watch this again.
And this video was awesome. I have to give it to them. And, you know, I watch all the Apple events and I get totally sucked in and get the goosebumps and get drawn into the devil eyes of Johnny Ive on the screen. But man, they did a beautiful job with this video that simply showcases this new product. And they said, let's look at this again, but take a closer look. Josh, I knew immediately where they were going. Did you?
I had a pretty good idea of where they were going.
And so I was watching The Hinge when they played the video the second time.
Yeah, and it was that was really the giveaway. It was because this Hinge is freaking weird looking.
It's also pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome because it allows the display to rip off of from the keyboard, and it's basically another Surface.
And suddenly, Microsoft's lawyers prepare for the onslaught of cases from HP.
Well, lots of manufacturers have done this.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I think this was, you know, whether you like this kind of product or not, I think the reveal on this was absolutely brilliant.
It was really well done. You kind of don't expect this kind of production from Microsoft, but they did a good job with it.
Yeah, they did a fantastic job with it. And what you're left with is a crazy powerful i7 tablet that's 7.7 millimeters thick. It doesn't have a kickstand, but it has the, and I don't even know that you got into this, magnetic connector for the pen.
Oh, right.
Which is a really clever idea to be able to connect the pen, just have it attach. I think it's a clever idea. I like it.
It connects to the side of the magnet. The first generation Surface Pro did that.
Did it really? I didn't know that.
It did it through the power port, which was the kind of dumb part. Was that you couldn't have it attached while you were charging the thing.
Okay. All right. So they added that. And so now how much would you pay?
Well, I'm not in the market for a laptop, so that's not a fair question. But this thing starts at $1,500.
Yeah.
Which is a lot, but I don't think it's completely unreasonable.
It's not unreasonable, but it is a high price. And the next time I hear someone talk about the Apple tax, I'm just saying.
Well,
you're paying for high quality, well thought out product from the actual like provider, from Microsoft itself, as opposed to some third party that's going to come up with some knockoff later.
Right. And you know, this is more expensive. It's basically $200 more expensive than any comparable along the product lines MacBook Pro. The MacBook Pro starts at $1,300. This starts at $1,500. The main difference is, of course, being it's got this awesome touchscreen that rips off, and it's a tablet and an amazing laptop, and it's got the pen support, you know, and it's faster.
Yeah, it's a really, really nice device. So, I can't fault them on anything on this. I expected that kind of price when they started going through all the features and capabilities. And then certainly when you learned that it was actually a convertible, that right. You could also, you know, you can fold over, put the screen on backwards, use it collapsed, use it as a tent. It's very, very flexible. I think it warrants the price. I really do.
I do too. I'm really, really disappointed that the tablet doesn't have a kickstand though. And I know what people are, because a bunch of people have already responded to me about this, that it has a keyboard. What do you need the kickstand for? Well, when I pull it off of the keyboard, I'm doing that because I just want it to be a small form factor tablet that I can carry around and set on small places and not have a giant keyboard in the way.
Blah, blah, blah. Turn it upside down as a tent and you've solved that problem.
I guess that's true. I didn't think about tent mode.
Right? I mean, that's why I love this. It's kind of the best of the Surface tablets plus all the flexibility of the Lenovo Yoga. It's really slick.
Yeah. I'm trying. I told my boss today that when we hire the next person on our team, they need to take my MacBook Pro and he needs to buy me one of these.
How did that go over?
He kind of laughed at me, but I don't think it's completely out of the question. I might be able to make it work because this tops out at $2,700 with 16 gigs of RAM and a 512 gig SSD in it, which is where the MacBook Pro tops out.
And frankly, I think that is a better buy than the Pro tablet that we were just talking about.
Well, certainly way better buy than that crazy 1 terabyte Surface Pro 4. Yeah. I mean, at that point, you're just paying for that really expensive SSD in the Surface Pro 4.
Right, right. All right. So when and where could I buy one of these?
When is October 26th, just like the Surface Pro 4.
Wait, that date sounds really familiar. Why does that date sound so familiar?
Isn't that Bill Gates' birthday?
Is it really?
I think it is.
Is that the significance of that date after all?
I think it is.
What I was thinking is that's the date they're opening their brand new, finally, New York City store.
You know what? I'm wrong. Bill Gates' birthday is the 28th. Dang.
I don't know if I'm impressed or horrified that you even knew that.
I'll be honest that I saw a tweet like of people guessing that date a few days ago because of that. In fact, I think it was our friend over at the Digital Lifestyle, Jason Combs, who tweeted that.
Got it.
Yeah.
So,
I think you're right.
So you could buy it at the new New York store potentially.
Yeah. There's a few people who live in New York that might want to go to that store and get one. So.
It's astounding to me that it took this long to get a Microsoft store in Manhattan. It's just, I don't understand.
It is really, really crazy that it took them that long.
I don't understand. So now I have a new destination to go to the next time I go to New York. It's at 53rd and 5th. And, happens to be 2 blocks away from the Apple store. So that's convenient.
Yeah, so that while you're buying all your Apple stuff, you can then go and just glance at the Microsoft stuff that you're not buying?
Nah, come on. There's always accessories, right?
Yeah, I am curious. Is there anything that we've talked about today that you want to buy?
You know, I thought about this a lot. I mean, I love that laptop, but I don't need a Windows laptop. I have no use for a Windows laptop. But I think that is a beautiful piece of hardware. And I, you know, if I didn't already have one that I use that's perfectly good for my needs, and if I wanted to use Windows on my desktop, which I don't, but I mean, if I had, that's not that far of a stretch, right? I mean, if those two things aligned, which is a pretty big overlap for a lot of people, I think that would be a really interesting product, and I would very likely be interested in getting it.
Well, while you're thinking about getting that, I'm going to have to think about getting a new co-host because the chat room is ready to have you thrown off the podcast.
Oh, come on. They know full well that I use a Mac for my desktop. Come on.
I know. They're just teasing. All right. So one last thing that I wanted to touch on. And at the end of this event, Satya Nadella came on stage and he said something that I really like. He said that basically what Microsoft is trying to do is to get people to move from being people who need Windows to people who choose Windows to people who love Windows. And I think they're doing the right things to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Satya comes on stage and I don't know if people were expecting to see him or not. It was nice to see him at the event. Frankly, even though he's a better speaker than Terry, I like that he doesn't kick this off. I like that he lets the product people kick these things off and really shine. And then he comes and kind of ties it all together. He's still a little bit rehearsed, but man, it's so hard. It would be hard not to like him. It would be really hard.
Yeah, I completely agree. I've always been impressed with how well he handles himself on stage. So yeah, and by him not being the one to start this thing off, he makes it so that the event is not all about him.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like that a lot. All right. That's all the news.
Whew.
We're like already over an hour.
Yeah. Well, we knew it was going to be long today. So hopefully we won't go too much longer. Although I'm psyched that we're going to hear from Marcus this week. So
me too.
Let's lead into that.
Yeah. He'll be up after us. We'll go first here. Richard, you teased us at the beginning of the show that you have a fix for your home server and it was all your fault.
Yeah. It turns out there's nothing wrong with my home server. I'm just an idiot.
Aw. I wouldn't go that far.
So I don't know if I got into this detail, but when I discovered that my home server wasn't working, it was when I had gone to hook up a new connected data transporter for syncing off-site storage. I think I talked about that last week. When I did that, well, so one more point. You may remember that what I said, perhaps serendipitously, was that my home server wasn't on my network anymore.
Right.
I didn't understand. And I went and I restarted it and blah, blah, blah. I had knocked the power cord out of the switch on my rack.
Well, what else was plugged into that switch?
A computer that has an old version of Insteon software that I don't use anymore. It has the iTunes server that drives my piano system that we haven't played in months, a bunch of random stuff that I normally don't pay any attention to. So I didn't miss it. Crazy. So, you know, I saw the loose cord. I plugged it in. Suddenly, my home server works again.
Amazing.
It's amazing what happens when you power your devices.
And it didn't cost you anything to fix. You didn't lose any data in the process.
Exactly. I am so glad. This weekend, I was going to take the thing out and hook it up with a monitor, and I didn't get time to do that. But what I did get time to do was go and just poke around in the closet a little bit to figure out what was going on. Man, what a dummy. Anyway, So that's fixed, and I'm really happy, and I have my music, video, and what else was in their photo library back? So, yeah. So I need that offsite backup sooner than later. Meanwhile, my Apple Music subscription ended, and I chose not to renew. And so I'm back to Spotify, and I forgot how good Spotify is at recommending music that I really like.
You know, I don't even know how good it is at that because I share the account with Jen. So it recommends a bunch of crap I don't like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good at that. It's really good at that. So I've been listening to a bunch of Spotify stuff again, and I don't miss Apple Music. We'll see how that goes. So, you know, it's not something I relied on a whole lot, but I'm happy to be back with Spotify. Now, on the TV front, I mentioned that I was watching, or rather catching up on Better Call Saul. I finished season one, and that got good. That got so good. The more the season went on, the better it got. So if that's something that you kind of were waning on in the early seasons, or in the early episodes, I should say, and you want to give it a try, I would recommend sticking with it because I really enjoyed it. And then this weekend, as expected, I watched Avengers Age of Ultron. Now, let me be clear on something. I didn't watch this because the disc that I had pre-ordered months ago from Amazon arrived on time. No. Now, I watched this because after the disc didn't arrive on Friday and didn't arrive on Saturday, and they didn't respond to me on Sunday about what was going on, I went out and bought it. And then they finally got back with me and said that, oh yeah, you can return that at our expense when it finally arrives, and it hasn't yet.
Jeez.
And we really liked that. That I think that was a fun movie. I think it kind of upheld the energy and the relationships that they've created in those films, as well as continuing the story. And then I went back and resumed watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm kind of glad that I waited, because even though the spoilers in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are minor in terms of they're only a couple seconds long, they do kind of give away the ending. So, so I'm glad I waited. And I think tonight I'm probably going to watch the season finale from last season. And by tonight, there will be two new episodes from the new season to catch up on. Also, the new season of Homeland started, so I watched the season premiere of that, and that was pretty good. They got their tech all wrong. They think that by turning off a server, your screens go black. Apparently, that's how things work in the CIA.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. But spoilers. Otherwise, gosh, it was good. And I think it's my week to recommend a podcast, and my podcast pick this week is from someone that used to host or co-host a podcast that I have recommended in the past. So my podcast pick is Text Message. That's T-C-H-S Message. And there's an apostrophe in there. Get it? The text message. And it is hosted by Nate Langson, now working for Bloomberg in the UK. And Ian Morris, now working for Forbes in the UK. These two used to work, I believe they both worked at CNET together at one point in time. And this is a UK spin on what's going on in the tech world. I've always appreciated the work that Nate has done. And, you know, full disclosure, he's a friend of mine. He's someone that I met years ago when we worked together on the CNET gig at CES. But I highly recommend this if you're interested in what's going on in the tech world from a UK perspective. They're a really good listen.
Very cool. I'll have to check this out. Nate's a great guy.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I guess that means it's my turn. And this is going to sound a lot like last week. I watched more of Heroes Reborn. Still loving that show. Still great. Still don't care about the storyline for the character in LA. Totally boring.
Okay.
You said you were going to at least watch the opening. Did you watch the opening?
No, I didn't get a chance to yet. I still need to do that.
Come on, Richard.
I'm afraid I'm going to get sucked in, and I don't want that happening again. I lost 5 years last time.
4 years. It was only 4 seasons.
What?
It was only 4 seasons.
It seemed like more.
Anyway, also checked out another new show, Quantico. Only have watched season one so far, but, or sorry, episode one.
Only watched the whole season so far.
I watched the whole season. It's not all out yet. No, we watched episode one. Jen and I watched it together. We both enjoyed it. You know, I'm not going to say it's like the greatest show ever, but I did really like it. And we're definitely going to keep watching it. It's not Heroes, but it's pretty good.
Okay.
Definitely going to keep watching that. It's on ABC. I mentioned last week that I had started watching the movie Her. I finished watching that one. Really interesting movie. Really didn't like the ending. And I'm obviously not going to spoil it, but it's kind of felt like they didn't know what to do with the ending. And I was really curious what they were going to do with the ending because I didn't know how they would end it. And I just didn't think it was great. So
yeah.
Overall, still a very intriguing movie and worth watching. So
yeah, it was enjoyable. It was an interesting twist on technology that we use today and how people could potentially interpret or end up interacting with it.
Yeah. And then because they extended the Rainbow Six Siege beta through this last weekend, I played a lot more Rainbow Six Siege. I still feel basically the same way. It's a heck of a lot of fun. It's just not $60 worth of fun. So probably won't be buying that, especially not in this very crowded fall or fourth quarter holiday video game season. That ain't happening for me this year. So that's about it. Of course, this weekend I'll be checking out, like I mentioned earlier, the Star Wars Battlefront beta. Again, free on Xbox and PS4 and PC, but I'll of course be playing on Xbox One if you want to join me.
Cool.
All right. Well, now it's time to hand it over to our good friend Marcus Lyons to find out what's going on with music and what are some of the new music things that are out there for us to listen to, and maybe just some music that we don't know of that's worth checking out. So let's hand it over to Marcus.
Hey, everybody. This is Marcus. I wanted to give you a quick minute to give you an update on what some cool things are out there in the music world, whether you want to use Groove Music or the music service of your choice. I'm going to make this quick because I just wanted to give one really awesome shout out to Janet Jackson's new album, Unbreakable. I think it's one of the most fantastic things I've heard in a while. I'm glad to see her back in the game, top of her form. Especially there's a song she does with Missy Elliott called Burn It Up. I think they're both just really in there, really in the pocket. I think they're doing some really, really phenomenal stuff there. So if you have a chance and to look through the new music stuff, please check out Janet Jackson's album and let me know what you think. I would love to hear your comments on it. If you want to go back into the crates a little bit, one of the things I wanted to suggest to people was the debut album by The Roots called Do You Want More? I know people know them now from The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, but if you go back into their albums, one of the things that they do really, really well is stay in the pocket together as like a multidimensional group. They use live instruments. I think they have a really, really solid hip-hop sound. So if you want to check them out, I suggest going right back to the beginning and going checking out their album, Do You Want More? So that's my recommendations for this week. I will catch you guys next time when I have a few more new things and deep in the crate stuff you should check out. Thanks a lot for listening. Catch you guys later.
All right. Well, thank you, Marcus. I'm definitely going to be checking out some of those selections right away. And we're gonna keep doing this, especially if you guys like these music recommendations from Marcus. So give us some feedback on what you think of this new segment, and Marcus will be back next week with more music recommendations.
And if you want to keep up with what he's listening to, he tends to tweet pretty often about his finds as he's listening. So you can follow him on Twitter as @trombone for hire.
All right. Well, Richard, I think you've got one more announcement that you want to share with our listeners.
Yep. I'm not going to be here next week. You need to find a different co-host next week.
Yeah, I'm way ahead of you on that. I've totally done that already.
Ah, fine. I'm glad I'm so easily replaced. Well, I'll be over in Dallas at the CD Expo. And, you know, this year, it looks like there's going to be a lot, not just for home control and home automation, but also quite a lot of entertainment stuff. I already have appointments lined up with Vizio and with LG and with the folks from DTS. So there's going to be a lot of cool entertainment news too. I'm looking forward to it. If you're going to be at the CD Expo, or if you're in the Dallas area and you're going to be available in the evenings next week, let us know and we'll try and set something up to meet up.
Very cool. Wish I could be there.
That would be cool.
As a total side note, anyone want to co-host with me next week?
Faker.
All right. Well, that's it for this very long, but I thought very fun episode of the show. So if you want to get a hold of us, there's a lot of ways you can do that. We're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. And the website is at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDMZ, if you'd like to like our page over there. We're also on Google+, along with the Windows Media Center community that we started for, you know, Google+, Windows Media Center users. You can send us a voice message if you'd like, but you can't, like, just call a number anymore. That doesn't work anymore. But you could record a message, like, on your phone or on your tablet or your PC or something, and then send it along via an email message at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. Or you can just type an email message to us at the same address. It works for both, I promise. We've also got some other podcasts for you guys to check out. There's The End User, covering all of the latest tech news from the end user perspective, and Richard's other show, Home On, covering home automation and control news. What's the latest with Home On?
Nothing new, really, yet. This is the second week that we're running the Lutron episode, where we talk with Matt Swatsky from Lutron about the residential products that they're offering direct to consumers these days. But coming up in just a few days is our episode with our colleague, Josh, Matt Wilkes, and we'll be talking about the home control software that we're starting to release called Homeboy. So you'll see that in the feed very shortly.
Very cool. All right. Well, if you enjoy any of our podcast and would like to show us your appreciation for the work that we do here at the DMZ, the best way that you can do that, head on over to iTunes or Zune or Stitcher Radio or TuneIn, any of those places where you can find all of our shows, and leave us a review or even just a rating. It all helps us out and we greatly appreciate it. You can also come back and listen to us as we record this show live every week. And it's not just listening. This is a full media experience. It's you get to talk to us too, and we get to talk to you. It's fully awesome, really, is what it is, because you guys get to to play a part in the show and we love it. So that is usually Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We're like 6 weeks in a row or something like that right now, Richard.
Well, right, but now I'm going away, so it's all going to go crazy.
Right. Number of days without an accident starts over at zero next week. So, if, you know, like I said, usually Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m., but it isn't always. So your best bet is to just follow us on Twitter. We always tweet about when the show is going to be recorded live, and then come and join us. But that's going to do it for episode 345. I'm Josh Pollard. He's Richard Gunther, and we'll be back next time. Well, I will be. He won't be. For episode 346. Until then, adios.
Goodbye.